You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Thursday, November 6th. Earlier this week, 47-year-old Tamara Fulmer of Seaside pleaded guilty to stealing more than $560,000 in pandemic unemployment benefits from the Oregon Employment Department. According to court documents, Fulmer used the personal information of 27 individuals to fraudulently apply for pandemic unemployment insurance benefits between May 2020 and October 2021. She cashed many of the unemployment insurance checks at a gas station in Seaside during that time. On top of that, Fulmer had also submitted her own fraudulent unemployment insurance application, where she falsely claimed she had not received disability, despite receiving disability payments since 2004. Earlier this year, in February, a federal grand jury in Portland returned a one-count indictment charging Fulmer with theft of government property. She faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison and is scheduled to be sentenced in February 2026. As part of the plea agreement, Fulmer has agreed to pay roughly $580,000 in restitution. This is KMUN News. Food banks on Oregon's North Coast have seen an increase in demand in recent days as the immediate future of food stamp benefits remains in limbo. The Trump administration refused to fund the Supplemental Food Assistance Program during the ongoing government shutdown. More than 42 million Americans rely on the program, which was due to be suspended beginning on November 1st. Following orders by federal judges to continue paying for SNAP, the Trump administration has said it will issue partial payments for the month of November, but these could take weeks to get to people. Amid the uncertainty, in Astoria, one food bank celebrated 50 years of serving the community. Katie Frankowitz reports.
The Clatsop Regional Food Bank in Warrenton provides thousands of pounds of food to the Clatsop Emergency Food Bank in Astoria. But the smaller food bank, located in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church, has been around for 50 years, well before the larger regional food bank arrived on the scene. While this kind of longevity would normally be a cause for celebration, and volunteers did celebrate with slices of cake during a meeting earlier this week, Aretta Christie said her mom, Peg, who created the food bank 50 years before, would be disappointed. Disappointed that there was still such a need to feed hungry people in the Astoria community. Though, Christie later clarified, her mother was a realist and understood hunger was a chronic problem. At an anniversary celebration this week, Christie read a remembrance from her niece, Ruth, who often accompanied Peg on trips to area grocery stores to pick up food for the food bank.
The door opened to a small space neatly lined with shelves and bins. There was a subtle smell of rolled oats and powdered laundry detergent. Volunteers happily talked and laughed as they sat around the long table. I'm going to get emotional. As they sat around the long table in the middle of the room, portioning out large bags of rice or beans into smaller packets. The gentle clack of dried legumes punctuating conversation. In a world that could be uncertain and scary, the food bank was a place that was safe and welcoming, a place where people could count on ingredients for their next meal, a place where volunteers who shared values could come together and feel grateful to connect with one another, a place where a child could see what it looked like when a community really cared about the well-being of others.
Bill Landwehr is the president and treasurer for the board of the Clatsop Emergency Food Bank. He said the food bank in Astoria has yet to see a major spike in demand. At a recent distribution, they saw about 9 households come through the door.
For us, you could have a 20% increase. That means you may went from 9 people to 11 people. So it's not like we're not going from 5 or 10 up to 20 or 30, no.
Still, he said they were prepared for whatever might happen next. Dustin Martin, chief operating officer for the Clatsop Regional Food Bank, attended the 50-year anniversary celebration. He says at a recent distribution at the larger food bank in Warrenton, they saw an increase, people who either had never gone to the food bank before or who were coming back after a long time away. Later, he looked at distribution numbers for all of the food banks across Clatsop County, from one in Napa all the way down to one in Cannon Beach. He told KMUN all of them had seen some kind of increase for the month of October, and most of that was focused in the last few days of the month. At the Astoria Food Bank celebration, he said the food banks have weathered emergencies before, most recently the COVID pandemic.
We do have some concern about the food supply, and that depends on how prolonged this event is. If we're looking at a couple days, a couple weeks, we're going to be okay. But if we're looking at weeks upon weeks upon weeks of no SNAP benefits or reduced, they're just, food banks were never designed to be a substitute for SNAP. We were designed to be a supplement to SNAP, and SNAP was designed to be a supplement to people's income.
In recent days, organizations and businesses across Clatsop County have rallied to collect food and cash donations for area food banks. Martin says both types of donations are welcome, but if people are donating food, there are some things that are especially useful.
So we are not in need of beans. We have lots of beans, so we're good on beans. Thank you, everyone. Right now, what we could use the most of are pasta sauces, soups, chilies, canned goods that way, canned tuna, and peanut butter. We can never get enough peanut butter. So really, if somebody pulled up with a trunk full of peanut butter, you'd probably see food bank people doing backflips.
Martin says a lot of people consider volunteering at food banks during the holidays, but actually, a better time to try to volunteer is during the spring and summer months, which can often be the busiest time of year as food banks process higher amounts of fresh produce. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
To continue our coverage of food bank and food assistance issues on Oregon's North Coast, we turn now to Let's Talk Tillamook, an independent, community-led project that seeks to provide factual information and thoughtful conversations for the people of Tillamook. In the following segments, host Shayna Peterson talks with Julia Wenzel, regional manager of the Oregon Food Bank in Tillamook County. We're excited to have this program available to KMUN listeners, and we will be looking to bring you more content from this group in the future. Please let us know what you think. And now, let's talk Tillamook.
You're listening to Let's Talk Tillamook. I'm Shayna Peterson. In this segment, Julia Wenzel, regional manager for the Oregon Food Bank, explains how the federal government shutdown could immediately affect SNAP recipients and what that means for families along the coast.
I think we all know how much food prices have gone up so dramatically in the last several years. We're all feeling that at the grocery store. So you can imagine how someone with low or no income is experiencing that.
It's just so sad when I hear a young woman, a single parent, list her monthly bills and it totals her income before she's even bought any food.
Exactly. We like to say that people aren't making bad choices, people are given bad choices. When you're having to choose between paying your rent and having transportation and buying food for your family, those are impossible choices. So people are in a really tough spot and we're just doing everything we can to at least mitigate the pain.
Well, I'm really glad we're talking about this, Julia. What happens that Congress gets their act together and the shutdown goes away? Where are we then?
We are in a different level of food security crisis at that point. Slightly less at the boiling point, but certainly still in a pretty tough situation, I would say. So if the government reopens, we expect that SNAP benefits will be issued immediately. They should be back paid, so folks will see the benefits they didn't receive, but it can take a while for those benefits to show up. So in the bigger picture, they may still get those dollars to spend at the stores, but in the short term, they need to eat today. And so it's quite a pinch that they're in. But if the government reopens soon, we'll see those funds pouring back in for folks to spend now. However, we also have legislation coming out of the big bill that was passed this year, which means that January 1st, we're going to see those bigger changes in SNAP benefits and eligibility. And those, again, are around able-bodied adults, a lot of documentation status changes. So folks who are here legally are still going to be impacted. Just all kinds of changes that are going to make it tougher to have and maintain SNAP benefits.
Is that information available if someone wants to go online and find a little bit about it?
It is available. So on OregonFoodBank.org, we have a number of resources. You'll see the news section. We have a number of posts bringing together different resources, really talking through how these pieces will impact individuals.
Wonderful. Let's remind people how they can find a food pantry.
Yes, if you're looking for food, I know it's a tough moment, but there is still food available. And so you can always go to OregonFoodFinder.org to see all the different resources available across the state. You can filter those down by different options and search by location.
And again, the best way to help our food bank is with dollars.
That's right. And I understand that's not available to everyone, but certainly even a few dollars here and there can really help. I do also want to stress, the scale of this crisis at this moment is honestly beyond the capacity of our food bank network to address. And we have 30 different food pantries, meal sites, and community partners working across the county tirelessly to try to keep people fed in a really challenging time. But they have already been working at capacity before these changes to SNAP have come along. And so really getting creative and exploring mutual aid opportunities, pay it forward opportunities, picking up an extra bag of groceries for your neighbor, anything you can do that doesn't put additional strain on a system that frankly was not built for this level of traffic will help us as well. I think it's really important to point out that at the end of the day, a lack of access to food is not because food is not out there, it is because of policy choices being made. So another thing that we can do is make sure we're reaching out to leadership on the federal level, on the state level, to make it clear that people deserve to be able to access food. Having a healthy community is important to us. There's also the economic impact it has on our community.
That was Oregon Food Bank Regional Manager Julia Wenzel on what a shutdown could mean for families counting on SNAP. When we come back, we'll look at how these changes could ripple through coastal economies. This is Let's Talk Tillamook. I'm Shayna Peterson. In this final segment, Julia Wenzel, regional manager for the Oregon Food Bank, talks about the broader economic impact of SNAP and why food access is about more than just hunger in our coastal communities.
SNAP dollars bring in something like $500,000 a month to Tillamook County. So think of the impact that's having on local grocers, on local stores. Anyone who takes SNAP benefits is going to have a huge hit with these fluctuating benefits coming through our community.
And as you said, some of it's going to change January 1st. No matter what.
That's right. And I think continuing to advocate for food as a human right, healthy communities as something that we prioritize, so that in the bigger picture, we can really work to claw back a little more of this really important resource. Because again, food banks are here to make sure someone has food today, but we really need to be looking at how we can make sure someone gets fed in the bigger picture. And we can't continue to put all of this strain on a system that's just not designed to sustain everyone over this period of time.
Really? Very true. I noticed our food bank interacts with our schools, too.
We do. We have a couple of pantries operating out of our Tillamook High School and Tillamook Junior High, and we support some food access programs at schools across the county. We're always looking to grow that as much as we can. We have a number of public pantries that are available to everyone, and then we also have a pantry in the Tillamook Bay Community College and community partners who are working with specific groups who need additional food access as well.
How does a pantry come together? What if someone said, I want to start a pantry in my area?
Yeah, that's a great question. They reach out to us. I would say I encourage you to think hard about sort of how sustainable it would be for you. Most of our pantries rely on almost entirely or entirely volunteer support. So do you have a community of volunteers who you can rely on for months or years to be consistent? Because, you know, in these moments of crisis, having these kind of creative problem solving and pop-up opportunities is great. But what we really need is sustained support for our community. So if that's something that you're interested in providing, certainly reach out. At this point, we are operating with a pretty limited flow of food, and it is a serious concern. And so we do think seriously about what a new pantry would bring to our overall network. Are you going to be in a part of the county where we don't currently have services? Could you be open after work hours or on weekends? Are you serving a demographic that maybe is not able to access other pantries that already exist? That kind of value-added piece to our overall network It's really the most important thing. And we don't expect you to know if that's true or not. That's why you would reach out to us and we would talk about it and see if that's the right fit.
Remind us again how listeners can help. And I heard you say OregonFoodBank.org, but there's a way if they want to donate to our food bank?
That's right. You can go to the Tillamook location itself, just at the bottom of Oregon Food Bank's website. You'll see locations and you can go right to Tillamook. If you donate through that page, that will earmark those dollars to be spent in our community directly. Again, you can also reach out to a local food pantry. If there's someone doing this work on the ground that you already are in touch with or see every day, that's a great place to help as well. Food donations are also welcome, but again, please reach out to us. We can't guarantee someone's always in our warehouse to receive it, but we do want to work with you to get that food in the door. And then again, creative thinking. This is a really unprecedented moment, and so we need unprecedented solutions to this problem. So if you have an idea, you can let me know and let's talk about it and we'll see how we can get that off the ground. We have the holidays coming up, so the timing is particularly urgent, but we want to make sure that families have something to put on the table for the holidays. And we do see a ton of support from the community around that time and we're so appreciative. A couple things that have been really effective have been Fred Meyer and Safeway will offer a free turkey with $100 purchase or however they set it up each year, but that you can actually bring that turkey to us.
Grocery Outlet did that.
Yes, Grocery Outlet
said,
as well.
They reminded me and I said, oh, I've already got my turkey. I should not have said that. Yes. I should have got that extra turkey.
Exactly. So in that moment, say, yes, I'd love that turkey and bring that on over to us and we make sure that goes out to a family in need. So that's a great time to do that. Grocery Outlet is also going to be offering groceries for good, which is going to be an option for folks to purchase a $10 bag of pantry staples when they are at the cash register. With that purchase, they'll put that bag aside for us to make sure that gets out to someone as well. And I know that Chester's down in Pacific City is planning to offer a holiday bag this year. You are welcome to purchase an additional holiday bag and they will again work with us to get that out to a SNAP family whose benefits have been impacted.
Excellent. People do care. People are so concerned.
People really understand that food is so important and we're so grateful to see this outpouring of support and we really just want to make sure that energy is getting to the people who need it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anything else you'd like to add?
We're so grateful. Thank you to everyone for your support. Feel free to reach out with ideas. We're all ears. We're here to work with you to take care of our county.
When families lose access to food support, the impact ripples through coastal economies, from grocery stores to local jobs. I'm Shayna Peterson. Thanks for being part of the conversation. To hear more stories that matter here at home, find Let's Talk Tillamook on YouTube and subscribe.
You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN news team that includes me, your host and producer, Skylar Butenchen, news director, Katie Frankowitz, and our intern, Sylvia Thorpe. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening.